live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. It's Cofield and Company.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying.
Yeah, all right, here we go. Friday, Cofield and Company. We are joined by Griffin back at the Findlay Toyota Studios, Alex White from South Point Studios up in just a couple as well. So we're all set up here on a Friday night. Big weekend on the way as UNLV football will be hosting a big one against Fresno State tomorrow, midday, 12:30 kickoff at Allegiant, 11:30 with the pregame right here on ESPN Las Vegas. And, of course, leading into that is the award-winning Throw the Flag show with Jared and Danny Smythe, which will be stationed here as well. So we got two shows, Friday and Saturday shows here at Treasure Island, and why not, right? 55-plus TVs to check out. We'll tell you about the menu as the show moves along. Some good things on the way. Griffin, I got to tell you, I just want to watch a football game tomorrow. This has been one of those weeks where there's been so much news during the week off the football field and source this and rants this way or that way and picking sides and this UNLV thing. I thought, because I always say, I feel like everything has about a 3-day news cycle. Sometimes it's two. Sometimes it'll stay in the mix for like 4 days, and then it goes bye-bye. Now, I knew the Matt Sluka story was going to be big. You don't have a starting quarterback for a team that, you know, right now is a pretty good team. Just walk after the third game. There's the NIL stuff. Everyone, lots of people hate the NIL. You've got stories on both sides. I thought it would go away, but it's still here, and I guess I didn't calculate this one. So yesterday, when we were at Circa, because we do our Thursday shows at Circa, we had, I guess it doesn't matter now that it was off the record, because it's on the record now, we had one of the reps at Circa say, hey, you know what, this is not for public consumption, but Derek Stevens did offer $100,000 to UNLV if they wanted to pay Matthew Sluka. So Adam Hill had heard about this as well, confirmed with Derek Stevens. Post a story last night. I think I have to look because I was texting him about it. I don't know, maybe it was like 8 o'clock. And then the way it was presented, and I don't want to be like this, but I do have to say, national people then stole it, gave no attribution to Adam Hill, who, like, there could be some people out there like, oh, it's not that big a deal. Like, you know, it would have been out, or, like, Adam actually is friends with Derek Stevens, so it is a really close tie, and every once in a while Derek has something that's pretty damn newsworthy. So Adam put the story up, Cofin and Company's Adam Hill and the RJ. And then the dude Brett McMurphy, do we ban him from the show for this? Then takes the story, doesn't give Adam any attribution, and then it blows up nationally. And I've seen it throughout the night and today sort of repurposed with the headline changing and morphing. And now the narrative is, from some people, UNLV is stupid for not the money. Like, they're stupid. Do you understand what the story is about? It's not about the money. It really isn't. I don't get it.
It's weird. This is probably the most, at least in my experience, that I've seen UNLV on the national, you know, it's a national topic. Everyone's talking about it on the ESPNs, the Foxes. And the problem is they're all wanting to talk about it, but they're all not talking the real facts. They're not giving credit to the people who are really here in Vegas connected with UNLV. It's I feel like it's kind of good for UNLV to get this much of a spotlight, but then again, it is pretty damning what people are saying about the school and the program without having all the facts straight.
Right. We got some of the heavy hitters who, unfortunately, as some people move up the ladder, they have so much going on, they'll see a story and that's what's believable, and they don't really check into two sides of a story, which I assume some of the bigwigs, the way they came up, they had to get two sides of the story, but not much interest in it. So we're going to hit on this throughout the day. Alex White is here. Alex, you are a UNLV alum.
Yes, I am.
I do think you're objective, though, on this story. So am I. Did you see the latest with Slukagate where Derek Stevens offered to put up some money, which, by the way, when people say the money, I still don't believe that $100,000 was a real figure in this whole thing from the beginning. I thought that was kind of a neat thing that, you know, Derek supports local sports, but it's kind of been weaponized the other way. Like, UNLV just, I guess they just don't want to win. They don't want to pay the quarterback.
No, I had no idea that that was even offered or on the table until seeing our rundown. So this is news to me. But yeah, I figured people would use it and flip it around like that and say UNLV is doing UNLV things. So,
well, you know, we went over this yesterday. We'll do it again today in more detail. This really isn't about the money. It's about the way the money was asked for. I think if you tried to renegotiate and have a two-way conversation about getting more NIL money, and the real number was Matt Sluka is getting $3,000 like many of a month, like many of the UNLV players get.
Right.
Which, by the way, another factoid that just is glossed over, Ricky White does not get $3,000. That would be absurd.
Right.
He reportedly was offered over $200,000 by Notre Dame. When you've got equity, you've proven yourself in a program, then yeah. Because NIL essentially is not money straight from the school. It's from sponsors.
Right.
So Ricky White is a preseason All-American. You go to sponsors, Collective does. Hey, you want to invest in Ricky White? Yes, we know who he is. We know what he does. We know what kind of leader he is. He's been out and about at functions. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And as UNLV said the other day, and that statement just did not work at all for most people because they didn't read it or see it. They sent out a statement the other day and said basically this was a late request. It falls under pay for play. That's a violation of Nevada law. We cannot do that. But man, people are so stuck on that it's just this simple transaction where you know within a season if. And think about if someone excels in a given year at the beginning of the season, if you gave Matt Sluka the money, you'd have someone every year come into the office and go, hey, you know what, I know I'm getting a nice piece of change here on the monthly thing that a lot of the guys get, but you know what, I need more.
Oh yeah.
It would never stop.
Never. After three good games, then you'd have a different guy in there every other week, so yeah, it would just make it way too complicated. But I'm still excited for this UNLV Fresno game.
So am I, but it's like we haven't been able to really hype the game. And right. Again, part of it's our fault. We don't have to talk about this, but it is a big story. Yeah, it's a great game. We're going to handicap it in the middle of the show. And this is one of the games I look forward to every year because I have true admiration for what Fresno has done over the years, what they're recruiting to. Their fans are awesome. They show up at home. I don't know if they'll travel at all. And the style of play they use is really fun. It's exciting, and they stick with it, and they're consistent. Now, on to the NFL. Boy, this Browns and Raiders game, you want to talk about a spot where you got the walking wounded. You have, I don't know, between bruised ego and maybe declining skills, Deshaun Watson, also bruised ego and maybe the skills were overrated, and Gardner Minshew, so the quarterback story's wacky. And then there's injuries all over the place, Alex.
So many injuries. I thought this would be a good spot for UNLV to be able, for the Raiders to be able to take advantage. And then now, no Davante Adams, no Crosby. So it's going to be might not be the best game to be watching on Sunday.
Might want to bet the under.
Might want to bet the under.
Right? You're going to take a shot at it?
It's pretty low.
Are you a totals player?
It's like 37. I do like totals a lot.
But I think in gambling circles, you can't be afraid. If a game feels like an under, like, is there a point where you're like, okay, this is ridiculous. Like, if it got down to 34, you're like, I just can't do this. Generally, the game is handicapped a certain way. And yeah, if the number is 37, it's probably the way to go.
No, you're 100% correct. I mean, look at the Steelers games, right? They have been so low, and they've all stayed under that total. And then the same thing goes for really high totals because you'll just have an offensive shootout and they can't make it high enough. So cannot be afraid of those numbers if they seem low or extremely high.
What was the biggest narrative for you out of Thursday Night Football with the Cowboys and the Giants? And the Giants, again, have a lot of trouble punching the ball into the end zone. Otherwise, they get some touchdowns there and they win this game. And, boy, the Cowboys win, but what does that do for you?
Ooh. I mean, I think you just said it. The narrative is that the Cowboys don't look like a actual contender this year. We've seen them struggle through the start of this year, and last night should have been a get-right spot, and they should have blown out the Giants, and we didn't see that. So still some concerns with that Dallas team for sure.
Why are they so lackluster on offense?
I think they need a run game, to be honest, and I don't want to put it all there and all on Zeke and the other running backs that they have, but they did fail to pay a running back. They could have went out and got a couple guys. They could have got Derrick Henry, but they didn't pay him. They didn't pay Tony Pollard to keep him there, who was fantastic for that offense. So I think that is the biggest concern, because then it all just falls on Dak and his wide receivers, and CeeDee Lamb always asking for the ball.
And now the defense was already struggling. You're watching at the end of the game last night. Yay, we're winning. But then Micah Parsons limping off the field. Diggs, who's already had knee problems, he's limping off the field. So I don't know what's going to come up for the Cowboys. And yet Mike McCarthy in the regular season is gold. So I guess, should we expect another 12-win season? Right now it doesn't look like it. We're going to take a break. Talk to Mark McMillan on the way back. He's a former Eagle Chief, played with three other teams, NFL veteran, Chef Mark. We'll be in, and we'll break down last night's game, look ahead to the weekend around the National Football League, and then talk about contracts and commitments and recruiting and all this stuff with Matthew Sluka, also Conference Chaos with UNLV, as they are seemingly, I think they signed it, they're back. They put out a release. They are back with the Mountain West, which they really weren't gone. They're kind of in limbo, but they're back, and now the Mountain West is trying to rebuild. Real, real, real interesting plan.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. Only on ESPN, Las Vegas.
I think Marion has to be fired based on the details we have right now.
I don't think he will be.
I think he has to be. You, as an offensive coordinator, he went out and promised a kid $100,000 that they could not back up, or we're not willing to back up, one of the two.
Well, a lot of stuff swirling around UNLV football. Big game tomorrow against Fresno State. We're going to get into that, handicap the game. Tyler Bischoff this morning on the morning show with Ed Graney calling for Brendan Marion to be fired. So we'll get into that. Have a bunch of clips from the morning show today. It was a long conversation about UNLV and the Sluka situation. Chef Mark is in. Mark McMillan's up with Alex White and Cofield. Mark, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, man? That is shocking, man. They're trying to fire my man, Brendan. They called for his head already.
Well, what do you think of the situation?
You know what? The NIL deal, man, nothing surprised me anymore. Nothing's going to surprise me. It's going to get worse. Guys are going to jump ship. You know, once they figure out they're either not going to play, or coaches or street agents, as we called them back in the day, promising these kids a lot of money, gear. You see it at the 7-on-7 level now. Kids are getting paid cash and cleats and uniforms to travel with these 7-on-7 teams, and these are young kids, so it's only going to get worse at the university level.
We'll break down the game in about 5 minutes against Fresno, because it's obviously an important game and it's under very different circumstances than expected about 8 days ago. First, your reaction to Thursday Night Football, the Cowboys and the Giants. Can I tell you, I'm actually a little more bullish on the Giants exceeding their expectations. So let's address the Giants first. Daniel Jones has played pretty decently the last two games. They're just not finishing drives. They had five field goals last night. How do you look at the Giants?
It's surprising. You know, when you think of the Giants, you think of just a disaster. You think of Daniel Jones turning the ball over several times. But last night, you know, he threw the ball really well. You know, some receivers dropped some passes. You know, their secondary is banged up. They're missing the Dory Jackson, one of their star cornerbacks in the secondary. So it was, you know, obviously the Dallas Cowboys had a lot more to work with than the Giants did. But I tell you one thing, that Malik Nabers, the receiver for the Giants, is the real deal.
Yeah, if you remember back to the Giants HBO, you know, preseason Hard Knocks or offseason Hard Knocks, there was that moment in there when they were talking about Nabers trying to decide between the receivers, and they had said they talked to, or someone had talked to Saban, and he said, you know, the two guys that really scared him last year at Alabama were Nabers and Brock Bowers. And so far, Nabors, in an offense that, you know, again, isn't great, has just been studly. He's been awesome, and unfortunately slammed his head against the turf last night. So hopefully he's going to be okay. Cowboys side, I'm not writing them off, because I think in the regular season you should never write off the Cowboys, because they have some formula that's worked over the years. But what are you seeing with the Cowboys? They couldn't put them away. They weren't scoring touchdowns. What are the Cowboys right now?
Jerry Jones' team. That's the Cowboys are. And obviously, they got a lot of weapons on their defensive side of the ball. Obviously, they were missing one of their starting corners. Diggs was asked to cover Nabors, who, man, he still couldn't cover them. They played cover two man over the top, and, you know, nothing seemed to be working. But, you know, Dak Prescott got paid a ton of money to put touchdowns in the end zone, and he's just not doing it. Obviously, they failed, they fed CeeDee Lamb a lot yesterday, and, you know, he was targeted a lot. He made some big plays, but they don't have a running game. They don't have a steady running game. And when you bring in Ezekiel Elliott as one of your guys to relieve some of the running backs that they have, you know you're in trouble. And, you know, that's not going to fare well down the stretch, because you have to have a running game at some point.
Hey, Mark, let's look ahead to some of these games coming up this weekend. We've got the Eagles at Tampa Bay. The Eagles finally stopped the Saints, give them their first loss. And then Tampa Bay coming off a disappointing loss to the Broncos. Now Philly still missing their two best wide receivers in A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. What do you see happening in this one?
I don't know why Howie has not reached out to Julio Jones yet. You know, we're missing our two main targets. Obviously, Devontae went down with a concussion last week against the Saints. So we're going to need some offensive help. I know a lot of pressure has been put on Jalen Hurts to put the ball in the end zone. And, you know, obviously you got to have weapons to do that. Thank goodness we got Saquon Barkley. Thank you, Giants, for letting us have that young man. So he's been playing really good. About time the defensive line stepped up for the Eagles. I don't know what got into those guys, but they really played lights-out football last week and caused Derek Carr havoc in the pocket.
Chef Mark up on Cofield & Company. Alex White's here. It's Cofield. All right, some other games. What do we make of Sam Darnold? Because he's still getting a lot of respect. I think he's getting a lot of respect in this line in this game against Green Bay. Is this just a case where a guy finally found a home with a real offensive coordinator, a real quarterback coach?
You know, I know the world. It was swirling around in the offseason that the Raiders should have picked up Sam Darnold over Minshew, but it's a great fit for him. Obviously, the offensive coordinator is an offensive guy. He's a quarterback guru, and you see him. He's just using his weapons, from Jefferson to Jay Naylor, who's a Bishop Gorman alumni who's been playing pretty well for the Vikings, who scored the last 2 weeks. So it's exciting to see the Vikings. Obviously, you're going against Green Bay. We don't know the status of their starting quarterback, so it's going to be a tough task, but I like the way Sam Darnold is playing.
Let's talk about the Washington Commanders and where you are with them right now. Coming off that huge upset over the Bengals, Jaden Daniels' record for a rookie with his completions in that one. But now they have back-to-back road games going to take on the Cardinals. And I think Arizona's pretty much the team that we thought they would be, right? A little bit improved, still have some work on the defensive side. But what do you make of the Commanders?
I love what I'm seeing over at the Commanders. And I'm actually starting to get emails to come back to some of the games. They offered me two tickets the last couple of weeks, so they're really reaching out to the alumni. So I'm excited about that. I know Darryl Green has been reaching out, trying to get me to come back to a game. But what they're able to do over there and with the Commanders, when you have a good quarterback and you surround them with some good players, this is the result that you're getting. Jaden Daniels has been doing this his whole college career. He just elevated it when he went to LSU, playing against some really good competition in the SEC, and now as a rookie, the numbers he is putting up right now, using his legs, learning how to slide. He's learned that already, so that's very smart of him. But in a tough division, you know, the Commanders will be okay. I'm sure everybody's waiting for Daniels to hit that rookie wall, but the man is playing outstanding, and it's good to see him happy, and it's good to see the Washington Redskins, but it's good to see DC alive.
Sorry, Mark, I cut you off. It's natural you played for him. You're kind of used to it. I mean, Todd Bowles got caught saying it like 12 times before the game last week. It's not that easy to make the switch. I understand why they made the switch, but not easy. Chef Mark is with us. All right. On the food front, shrimp Creole. Oh. Hello. I saw the pictures.
Oh.
How'd you make that?
I know we talked about it last week. I know people were probably waiting, feeling like Mark is dogging my food. So I had to make sure I stepped up my game last night. Made a nice little shrimp etouffee with a tomato base, with some white rice. So I had to step up my game last night with some onions, little peppers, little garlic, little crushed tomatoes, little sauteed mushrooms as well. You can't see them, but they're in there. But I had to step up my game, man. So there it is. So people can take their shots at my plate all they want right now.
I love your plates. You're doing a lot of charity work, and there's another way to pay it forward, and that is talk to the youngins. So you do it a lot on the football side, but now you're getting some interest on the restaurant and hotel side. Were you at Northern Arizona?
I was at Northern Arizona just the day before yesterday. My days get so mixed up, man. I've been all over the place. So they brought me into Flagstaff University to speak to their hotel restaurant management classes, and these are 17 and 18 year old kids, and obviously I had to put a highlight of myself playing football, so they kind of know who I am. But kids start Googling during the presentation, and of course they pull up the segment when I almost blew up the kitchen on season 2 of Next Level Chef. So it was pretty cool to speak to those kids, because they're 17, 18, and still young, wet behind the ear, and just telling my story from coming from the NFL, and now I'm cooking. I'm talking to university. So, man, it was a really exciting experience, and it was only 75 degrees there. I wanted to stay.
It's funny when you make that transformation to a new career, post-football or athletic career, how much it changes where they know you more as a chef than as the football player. We were talking to former UFC champ Randy Couture last week, and he said there's a lot of people now who just know, they don't even know he fought. They know him as an actor because he's been in like 50 films. That may be coming for you in the next couple of years where they're like, what, you play in the NFL? No, I know you from Chef in Here, the TV show, or some social media.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Obviously, you look at Terry Crews, not a lot of people knew he played in the NFL, but now he's known from being an actor and hosting these television shows now, so I'm open the door to it. I know, talking to NAU, they want to bring me back and team up with their chef, cook in the kitchen with some of their students, as well as raise money for their programs as well by cooking with some of these students. So I'm excited, man. And like I said, they introduced me as Chef McMillan instead of Mark McMillan, the football player. I'm not a chef. I'm not a trained chef. So I want to put that out there. Some chefs are like, man, I went to school, I got my degree, but like I said, you don't have to play in the NFL to be a football player either.
Well, there are a lot of restaurants though, and who have chefs who never went to school. They kind of learned on the mean streets. They got the recipes from their family, or they worked at a restaurant and got the sweat education. Let's get back into football here. How good are the Raiders going to be this weekend? I don't think this is a great Browns team, but not having Devontae Adams is a big deal. On defense, you saw the effect of not having Max Crosby. How do they make up for, the loss of their two best players or unavailability of their two best players?
You know what? Obviously, in Antonio Pierce's press conference today, he was just saying, hey, you don't need those guys that that were backup, now starters, to be Devontae or be Max Crosby. And, I was biting my tongue to be like, yeah, I know, but I know in the back of your mind, as a head coach, you're like, man, this isn't looking good for me, especially the way my team performed last week. You can't replace Devontae. You definitely can't replace Max. And if I'm Cleveland, I'm thinking like, man, we have really got a chance now to go into Las Vegas and have a really good shot of coming out with a W. Especially if you're an offensive tackle, you're like, man, I don't have to worry about Max. If you're our defensive back, you don't have to worry about Devontae. But this is the NFL, man. I was one of those guys that was number 5 on the depth chart, just moving my way up, and obviously made a good impression that I end up starting. So hopefully for these guys with the Raiders, man, I know Jacoby Myers is a guy that's going to see a lot of action. Mayer is not playing as well, the other tight end, so that means Bauer should get a little bit more play in the passing game. So we'll see how it plays out. But Antonio Pierce, man, you can just see in his eyes at the press conference, like, man, this is going to be a tough road for me this week.
I'm curious your thoughts with Antonio Pierce and his comment about some people made some business decisions. As a former player, how'd you take that comment?
Guys are not stepping up and doing what they're supposed to do. I remember Ricky Waters, I'm sure Steve might remember this, when he didn't catch a pass over the middle that was intended for him. And then he comes out in the media saying, for who, for what? And then we really got after him as a team. Obviously, you know, the Philadelphia media really got after him. Within 24 hours, Ricky Waters was in front of the whole team apologizing, as well as to the city, about not going after a ball and not giving 100%. And I'm sure that's some of the things that they have to say. Like they say, keep it in-house. We didn't keep it in-house in Philly. We let it known nationally that we did not agree the way Ricky Waters handled himself, but he ended up sucking it up and being a really good player for us down the stretch.
All right, let's get to the game. You going to be there tomorrow?
I will be there, man. I am so excited. I thought I was excited the last home game, but, you know, I know a young man that plays on Fresno State, defensive line named Goldie, coached him in high school, so I'm excited to see him. But with all the turmoil that's going on, man, as a football player, you deal with all kind of stuff in-game, out of the game, in the locker room, outside the locker room. This is a veteran team, Steve. You know that. They have some really good players on there. So I don't see those guys missing a beat, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They're going to really get after it and rally behind the quarterback, and I'm excited to see the young man get an opportunity because going into training camp, it could have went either way.
Yeah, what do you think of what you saw from Haj Malik Williams?
I think he's a good scrambler. He's a more accurate passer than Sluka. Obviously, they both come from smaller schools, but if you can play football, you can play football. And this man is getting an opportunity that he thought he should have been the starting quarterback coming out of training camp. But I'm sure there's a little bit more behind the scenes of why Sluka was named the starting quarterback, but he's not the quarterback. And seeing on social media, seeing all the players rally behind him is really positive. And I'm looking forward to this young man. Once he settles in, if he runs the offense like the offense is meant to run, it's still going to be an effective offense. And for Ricky White, I'm sure Ricky's like, man, finally somebody that's going to be a little bit more accurate and probably get me a little bit more passes.
Mark Spott each week is brought to you by Gorilla Grills and Once Upon a Coconut. We'll close on this one. We got to mention what's going on with charity and your fried chicken pizza and how long that's going to go on for.
Yeah, this is our last week. You know, at Able Pie, you can go get the Gorilla McMillan barbecue fried chicken pizza with proceeds going back to my Lift program for kids that have been harassed and bullied, as well as the Nathan Allison Hospice Care Center. So we're going to present a bench to the Nathan Allison Hospice Care Center being built by my guy Steve back in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So he was Amish, but he's kind of not Amish anymore. So the bench is going to be well secured. You know, man, once those Amish build something, it's going to be really cool. So we're going to present a healing bench to the Nathan Allison Hospice Center probably next month. So we're looking forward to doing that and raising more money for more charities down the road. So Evil Pie, barbecue, chicken, pizza. You can't beat that.
Mark, we appreciate it. Thank you. See you tomorrow.
Appreciate you. All right, see you tomorrow, buddy.
Big Time Golf's coming to town. Let's do a giveaway right now for the Shriners Children's Open. Caller 7364-1100. You can get two tickets from Griffin right now. You can get VIP tickets, or at least enter for a chance to win VIP tickets. Go up to lvsportsnetwork.com. Shriners coming to town with a Big Time Golf charity event October 17th to the 20th at TPC Summerlin. Call in right now. Caller 7364-1100.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
TI is the site, as you heard. Great happy hour here. Excellent spot to get dinner. We got two college football games of interest tonight. One especially of interest for me, Rutgers hosting Washington in, believe it or not, what is a Big Ten matchup. And then I'm curious to see what Miami does against VTech, if they can pound them and continue to build their resume as a potential playoff team and, well, I was going to say even better, ACC champ. Playoffs are most important beyond winning the ACC. Let's do a giveaway here. We got two tickets to a concert coming up in the new year. Planet Hollywood is the site for Perfect Circle, Primus, and Pussifer. Ticketmaster.com is where we can get the tickets. Ticketmaster.com for the show at Planet Hollywood. Griffin's got a pair right now. 364-1100. Caller 7364-1100. I feel like we're setting up everything on the show. Like we're going fast, fast, fast. But some thoughts, because all UNLV folks have thoughts on what just happened a day and a half ago with Mountain West and UNLV saying, you know what, we're getting a boatload of money. We're going to stay committed to this league.
It's tough. I'm kind of back and forth on it, right? Because you of course, will want to be in the Pac-12 if you have the opportunity to, or the new Pac-12. But, I mean, they're going to make a lot of money from staying in the Mountain West, right? You have to look at it from
that
side. They're
getting a bonus of between $10 and $14 million up front, and then they're going to get at least $1.5 million every year for the next 6 years. So at a minimum, you're talking $19 million, and they were going to have to pay $18 million to get out. And there's a reality. There's a deficit with UNLV Athletics. I've seen the idea, and I actually mentioned this last week. If UNLV stays in the Mountain West Conference, by the way, the football schools that are left are not crap. Now, some of them may be down this year. Like, Wyoming is a dangerous football school. They're going to make a transition here from years of Craig Wohl. I think it can be a pretty good football conference. They're trying to make a splash, and we'll tell you who they're reaching out for in a little bit. But even if the conference isn't great, and I don't know that it's great now, but if UNLV dominates this conference, almost like a Gonzaga-like plan,
right?
That still helps them. Because I got to tell you, I don't think the MAC or the Mountain West Conference or the AAC is going to get the at-large bid in the playoff. I think it's going to be one of these schools from a lower conference that happens to go 13-0 because they don't play anyone.
No, I'm with you, definitely. I think that the others that you just mentioned, the AAC and the MAC, I think – they're kind of down. There was a few teams that we all had in mind that could win that 12 spot, and it's not really looking like it now.
No, and if it's not a school like Liberty, then everyone else remaining, I keep using the word bloodbath, it's going to be a bloodbath because the competition is high. I don't know that anyone's great. I don't believe anyone's going to get through it unless they're in one of the lowest, weaker conferences with an unbeaten record.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Alex, I got to tell you, UNLV's doing a really good job this year with a lot of the things around the UNLV football program. So it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, they honored the 1974 team.
That's right.
Glenn Carano was on the show, the quarterback of that team, who eventually made his way to the NFL. Well, the 94 team will be celebrated this weekend. They'll be honored on the field after the first quarter, and Nick Garitano was part of that team, was a real character on that team. And Nick's up with Alex White and Steve Cofield here on ESPN Las Vegas. How are you, sir?
Good, Steve. Thanks for having me on, man.
Of course, of course. So, first of all, it was funny when Glenn Carano came on, he kind of stopped in the middle of the spot and he's like, man, 50 years, 50 years. like, when you think about this, you're like, what the hell? It's been 30 years, and I also wonder what it's going to be like. There's got to be a lot of guys that you haven't seen in a while, right?
Well, I was just talking to a buddy of mine, Brian Parvin, about it a little bit ago, and 30 years, there's a lot of these guys we haven't seen in 30 years. I mean, the only guys I've really seen are the guys that were local guys. You know, Robbie Morrison, I've seen Robbie a little bit, and Howie McGowan, and some guys that did a couple different things over here, but yeah, it's been a long time. We're excited. We're really excited to get everybody back together tonight and tomorrow at the game. And, man, it's going to be a great time.
Nick, all those times I interviewed you on Thursday Night Lights for being a great baseball coach here in Las Vegas, first at Green Valley and then CSN for, 14 years now. I never knew you were the kicker at UNLV.
Well, that could be good and that could be bad, Alex. I don't know. It was a lifetime ago, like Steve was saying. You know, it was 30 years ago, so those were some fun days. That was a whole lifetime ago, but I'll tell you what, being able to see these guys' faces tonight and tomorrow and just to reminisce about 30 years ago and how much the program's changed and the facilities and all that different thing, it's just going to be great. So we're just honored that the school and has decided to do something with that particular club, and we're really excited about it.
Well, let's not downplay the kind of football player you are, because you're a great baseball player, but I want you to take, people who know you are, and especially the people who are new to the market, back to high school. First of all, where you went to high school, and then you were not just a kicker on the football team. You want to tell people about your football background going back to the high school days?
Yeah, I went to Chaparral High School. Chaparral was a lot different back then. There was only 10 high schools in the state, so I went from 88 to 91, and I played guard, linebacker, and I was the punter and kicker, and I wanted to play guard in college, and Jim Strong, who was our first guy, is a Terry Cottle, great gentleman that's worked so hard to put this whole weekend together for us. You know, they recruited me as a kicker, and I told him I wanted to try and play guard whenever I got there, and they said, no, you just need to kick. But it worked out. You know, I remember I think the thing that sealed it was I made a 53-yard field goal against Clark High School with 30 seconds left to go to tie it. And back then, a 53-yarder is about equivalent to about a 58 or 60-yarder nowadays. It's sort of like the equivalent of a, you know, 90-mile-an-hour fastball 30 years ago is about 100 miles an hour today. So it was a lot of fun. I really like to mix it up. Obviously, I don't look like a kicker. I used to eat and lift with the linemen and pride myself on strength, and I definitely should have looked after my body a little bit more, but I enjoyed to eat, and I enjoyed to lift weights, lifting weights, and it was always fun, and I turned into a decent kicker, and we had a hell of a run there in 94.
How big were you going into UNLV?
I went into UNLV at about 240, 238 wow. to 240, right in that area, and I played my high school senior year at guard and linebacker at 255. Played my senior year of baseball at about 235, 240. So I think by the time it was over, you know, good decisions, bad decisions, my senior year in football, whatever it was, eating too many buffets or having one or too many soda pops or whatever the case it might have been, I think I wound up being about 268, 270 by the end of it. But it was a lot of fun. And I remember Jeff Horton, what a guy. You know, my freshman year, we went to Hawaii. He was with us. Brian White was with us with Jim Strong's staff. And we were down in Hawaii. And I remember Brian White and Jeff Horton said, you know, if you look out after yourself, you might be kicking here one day. And that's back in the old days when the pro ball was played in Hawaii every year. And, you know, that's what they thought. And that meant the world to me. You know, and I never did play in the NFL, but I had an opportunity to kick for a week up in San Francisco in a mini camp. And sitting there with Steve Young and Lee Rice and or Jerry Rice and Lee Woodall and all those guys. And it's funny because a guy by the name of Jamal Willis, who used to be a running back at Bonanza High School, played up at BYU, he was there at the same time rehabbing his knee. So it was a lot of fun, and something led me into the baseball world.
On the football side, what were you thinking? You mentioned Jim Strong, but what were you thinking going from 93 to 94? And I don't know how much you knew. Jeff Horton obviously had stops at both schools. What were the hopes going into 94?
Well, I'll tell you what, it was really worrying. And after the 93 year, there was rumors of some players transferring and leaving. And this is long before the transfer portal. There was a lot of loyalty towards programs, and things would have to go really bad for a guy to transfer years ago. And there was a little bit of rumors, but then they named Jeff Horton the coach, and I'll never forget his first meeting. He had it over there in the Cy Red Room in the Thomas and Mack, and he just looked us all in the eyes, was fired up from day one. I'm getting goosebumps as we're talking about it now, and said, we're going to win the Big West Championship. And I think everybody looked around like, huh? I mean, we didn't have a lot of direction. I got to give Jim Strong a lot of credit and that staff for giving me an opportunity to get a free education as a kicker. And unfortunately, we just weren't winning enough football games. And Jeff Horton and his staff came in and did an unreal job of making us believers and instilling confidence in us and making us believe that we could win every single day, you know. And it was very competitive in practice. It was very high energy in practice. The coaches, you could tell, they were fully invested in the betterment of the program and in us as kids. And as a kid, that's all you can ask for, right? I mean, 30 years into a coaching business, and we try and be firm but fair, but I truly believe if the kids know that you're fully invested into something and you care about them, no matter how tough it is each day, at least the kids know that you're in it for them and you love them. And that's what we really felt with Jeff Horton and his staff, and that's what they did for us. They were amazing for our group of guys, and to win that the Big West Championship, you know, beating Reno that last week was huge, and then being able to go and win the Las Vegas Bowl III against Central Michigan, that was just something that, you know, I mean, forever they can't take it away from us, you know. So it's going to be great to see everybody.
Yeah, and looking back, it was a wild season because it was not an easy trek to get to 7-5 and win the Big West. I mean, you must have been a big part of it, but do you remember some of the games that were super close? Because you guys won four games inside of 5 points.
Yeah, there was a lot of games that were really close. Came down to the wire that we got a big defensive stop or, you know, for us, I remember Coach Horton would tell me week in and week out, he said, hey, man, I know you're the kicker, but you're as valuable as any piece that we have out here because your points are a big difference in these games. And one thing about Jeff is he let us kick. I mean, we were trying back in the day. You never heard of kickers going for 50 yarders. And we tried seven field goals from 50 to 59 yards, and we were successful five out of seven times. you know, and that was pretty big. And he actually let us try a 61-yarder, but yours truly tried to kill it and spun it down to about the 10-yard line, probably the worst kick I've ever made in my life. But it was awesome. I mean, one of the guys made a video and sent it out to all the alum that are going to attend this thing, and just to see the way that some of those games ended was just, it was almost like it was meant to be. That we all stuck together, and it was a really talented group. I got to give Jim Strong and his staff credit. He really assembled a good group of guys, of players, and we just bought into Jeff Horton, and it's got nothing to do with Jim. It's just a matter of, I think that Jeff Horton found the magic potion in our group of guys, and we were in those tight games. We won a lot of road games, and we're road warriors, and all that different thing, and the fans, I remember playing against Reno. There were 32,000 people in Sam Boyd, and you remember the days at Sam Boyd. At times, there's 5,000 people out there. So we packed that thing out and filled it up, and it was what a run, man. A lot of good players. Henry Bailey, Mark Byers, Keith Washington, Jason Davis, Randy Gatewood. I mean, you go on and on, Henry Bailey, you go on and on and on about the guys that did it, and then you got the guys that really, the guys behind the scene, the offensive, defensive linemen. Those guys were just nasty, nasty dudes that just got after it every day in practice. And, one good thing about football, it was fun to watch because I was obviously a football player that kicked. And there'd be a fight every day at practice. And that was just out of the competitive fire of all these guys. And that's why it's going to be so neat to see everybody giving each other a hug. And, we've all got kids, I'm sure. And so we've lost some people from that team. We've lost four of our fallen teammates. And, we're going to honor them tonight. And go from there. So,
well, have fun at the party. That should be a good collection, some wild stories, and then we'll see you out on the field tomorrow.
Absolutely, Steven. If I can, just real quick, I really want to thank the people that made this happen this weekend. Especially the Las Vegas Aviators, Source One Events, John Moles Roadkill Barbecue, who's catering our tailgate tomorrow morning, the UNLV Football Foundation, Turf Sporting Goods, Born and Raised, who's hosting our little get-together tonight. And then Coach Odom and the UNLV football program, and also Eric Harper and the athletic program. This wouldn't be available. This wouldn't be happening tonight if it weren't for a lot of those people and some other people behind the scenes. Mark Wallington put a lot of time into this, and especially Jeff Horton and Terry Cottle. Those guys have really stepped on the gas. And I just, from the bottom of my heart and part of the UNLV Rebels 94 Big West champions, we just want to thank all those guys, and we really want to thank you guys for allowing us to be on this radio show today.
Nick, we appreciate your time. We'll see you, okay? Thanks.
Okay, guys. Have a good night. Bye-bye.